Team Time.
Hi, welcome to Team Time. I'm your host, Debbie Waith, and I'm here to share with you a series of podcasts aimed at supporting those who are in teams or leading teams through this period, rather exceptional period of pandemic lockdown, in currently June 2020. So it's been going on for 3 months now, and I like in my own journey through this period to kind of mountains and valleys. You know, there's been some days and some times where it has certainly felt as though I am hiking up a very steep mountain, where the air is certainly getting thinner and I'm not sure the crew around me are really supporting each other well. And other days where actually it feels as though we start to get to the crest and we start to kind of understand the rhythm of what this journey is. We've kind of reassessed and understood actually what some of the successes are within that. And by that, I mean not just the work successes, but, you know, better understanding. When we say team, at this point, certainly in my situation, I'm talking as much about my family and what works within our family situation as I am in terms of what works in my work world, as it were. And so, you know, celebrating the times when you've had a good homeschooling week or day or moment, let's be honest, as much as recognizing, you know, when you've done something where a client has appreciated you. But I've also had times where, you know, I've reached that peak of that mountain and realized, as we often do for anyone that has climbed a hill or mountain, you know, however long ago it might have been, to realize that you aren't at the top. You know, you thought you were so close, and then, you know, you get to that first ledge, if you like, and realize there's still a lot more to go. So I wanted to bring in the experience that I have in working with change and working with leaders and teams at a time where I think it is really hard for people to recognize or navigate or even understand what good leadership looks like during this period. I've been working with leaders for the last 10 years, both on a one-to-one and also leading some large programs. And I've also been working with some intact teams over the years, trying to bring greater insight to both what helps a team perform well, but as importantly, what helps to make working in a team feel good. So my hope was to share with you in what will be relatively short podcasts, a few thoughts on what it takes to, frankly, get through this period, and hopefully get through it in a way that you are both acknowledging and supporting yourself well, your team and or teams, and by that I mean both within the work system and the family systems, and of course how they overlap, as well as, you know, focusing on what performance and impact means during this period. So here are some thoughts that I hope will be helpful to you, and I'd love to hear any feedback that you have and start to have a conversation and engage in a way that you can ask me the questions that you want to ask or raise some of the topics that you would like to hear spoken about. I think it is hard at this point where, whilst there are benefits to working from home, it can feel more isolating, particularly if you've got some tough decisions to make. And even if you've got others around you helping you make those decisions, you hold those decisions, you know, within the forum that you're existing. And for many, that's at home just now. So I hope that we'll be able to support each other through this time and through what I'm calling conversation circles, so we can continue the conversation in a live way as well as through these podcasts. wanted to share sort of some of my highs and lows, if you like, when I felt I reached the crest and when I've kind of fallen down into the valleys, and share things that I have enjoyed about this the last 3 months, and things that I've struggled with. So for me, I'm at home, my husband's at home, and we're both trying to work from here. We have two children, two boys who are 8 and 5, who are both have been being homeschooled since lockdown in March. And so we're juggling my husband's employed role, my self-employed role, and two children's education. And there are times where, you know, it gets tricky, particularly I think in the first 6 weeks. Some of the things that I struggled with really, in fact, the biggest one was having to negotiate time with my husband, who is very supportive and, you know, he's doing all the right things, if you like, but it doesn't make it necessarily easy to still have to wear that hat of asking for time. It triggered in me certainly some gender stereotypes, some patriarchal resentment. And of course, it wasn't necessarily a male-female issue so much as an employed, self-employed issue. But at the edges, it did feel as though that when we were questioning or testing what to do, that, you know, we could have gone back to the 1950s and it been that sort of division. And I think that did for me, certainly in those early weeks, you know, raise up a lot of the questions and fight, if you like, in, you know, God, how hard have I worked, you know, whether it's through education or through working in business, to have got so far that I still now need to ask somebody's permission. So that was hard. And that did take, I think, a lot of, you know, personal reflection and reflection between us as we, you know, made those decisions every day. And it literally is still every day, where we're sort of negotiating who's got what time so that we can also devote the time that we want to supporting our boys and their education. So that was the first one, that the negotiating the time, and in some ways kind of honouring the time between us. The second issue that I think we've struggled a bit with is this sort of crossing or contaminating the boundaries. You know, when people are going off to work and work is in a different place, then actually the boundaries, not consciously through anything that we're doing, are much clearer. And by bringing the work into the home, I certainly felt there was quite a big distinction between, you know, the occasional work from home, which, you know, for many, including myself, can often be a very productive day. You know, you get so much done at work, you can connect with people in a different way. And of course, you can get your washing on. You can collect your kids from school or take them to school. And so those days can feel real highs in the week or 2 weeks that you enjoy them. But home working, where it's not a choice and where everything is happening under one roof, has meant that those boundaries have got quite confused. So boundaries around, you know, physical space, you know, who is where and what are we trying to do in those spaces. Time. We've talked already about, you know, the negotiating time and being clear on how do we use time in a way that serves everybody, or if there's compromises being made, that we're trying to make good choices so that there is some degree of equity, if you like, to it. And roles. You know, I think there is a confusion often where in the early days, you know, we were privileging these new virtual coffee sessions with our work teams, And it struck me that what we weren't doing, my husband and I, was recognizing that we were actually now a work team ourselves, and we weren't having coffees together. You know, we were either working with the children or we were back at our desks or on the phone or on Zoom trying to do calls. And so there was a shifting of what those boundaries were. And I think it certainly has helped me to regard he and I as a work team as well. And by that mean that we actually do put more effort into, so what does this look like each day? And for what, you know, what's a good outcome, if you like, at the other end of it? How do we care enough for each other during this period that we do get time not just to do our work, but, you know, to do whatever exercise or, you know, well-being exercises we might want to do. So that's been quite conscious and intentional things that, you know, we tripped up over in the first few weeks. And you know, we came to those conclusions, if you like, or I came to those conclusions through one of the things that I've enjoyed a lot through this period. And that's, you know, a greater period to reflect and just take that step back and recognize in many ways what are the patterns and triggers that I have and, you know, that I'm actually quite familiar with when it comes to change. And that is certainly one of my beliefs, that I think we do have patterns in how we react to change. React meaning, you know, kind of impulsively and without conscious thought. So the things that get automatically triggered in you, if you will, and the pausing to reflect allows me an opportunity to be more thoughtful, more intentional with my responses. And of course, it gives you time to step back and consider, you know, your career, your role, you know, what's your role in the family, as well as what's your role to those that you work with. So I've really enjoyed having that time. And, you know, I'll be honest, some of those periods of reflection weren't, you know, pain-free, because actually you're having to hold that mirror up again and see things in yourself, things in others that you don't always like to acknowledge, but they're there, and they're really what makes us us. They're as part of us as the things that we do enjoy. And so that was actually helpful to kind of just pause and work my way through that. And some things that I do to help me, well, one of them is to write some stuff down. I know some people might call it journaling. For me, it's less day by day, if you like. It's more event driven. But I'll be taking notes on myself and the things that kind of have either caught my attention or in some way have triggered me into responding in me nearly as well as myself, and recognize that some of those patterns, you know, come from formative experiences and so are more likely to be triggered in times of change than others. And so talking through with somebody, and so I've been doing it with a friend on a weekly basis, and just sharing our lived experience of what this period has felt like. And in some ways, sort of recognizing when each of us has shifted, we've got different family situations, different work situations, but recognizing what are the things that have helped us in those shifts. And one of the things is the ability to talk it through with, you know, another that has a vested interest insofar as care for the other, but not so invested because they're not in that family situation. So through the combination of the writing and the reflective conversation has been very helpful for me. The other thing that I have found positive through this period is the time that we have, you know, with our home team, if you like. So with my kids, you know, really much greater appreciation of, you know, their school experience. And, you know, in some ways that sounds odd because they're not at school, but I've got a much better sense of where they're at school and the expectations on them from school. I'd also say I've got a much better understanding or sense of compassion for my husband and, you know, the pressures or the challenges or the highlights from his role. You know, I don't know if I'd really truly considered, you know, as he went off to work each day and came back in the evening, you know, what went on through his day. You know, I get snippets or snapshots of it, but to actually see it play out before you, as he's on his calls or in Zoom meetings, I just think it's really helpful to remind yourself of that part of your partner that, you know, you don't really get much opportunity to see up close and regularly. And so that's been really helpful too. I think I have got more of a sense of empathy and compassion for his role and, you know, what it takes to do his job. So I guess the sharing of the things that have helped me or what I've enjoyed or really struggled with during this period, you know, even the process of considering them has been helpful. And so I'd ask you the same questions. What are the things that you have found better during this period? You know, perhaps you've enjoyed them, perhaps they have just suited your way of being or doing things better. But what are they? And what are the things that you've found most difficult? And as importantly as the answers to those two questions, what are the practices that have helped you through this period? I'd love to hear what the answers are to those questions. And if you're happy to share them, you can get in touch with me on Instagram or by emailing me debbie.waith@futureulimited.co.uk.
Team time.
So I haven't talked much about leading, leadership and teams yet. And you might be thinking, where is all this leading? Well, you're right, I haven't. And yet, one of the things that I've learned over the years is that we have to start with ourselves. We have to, if you like, get our own house in order and recognise what we bring and how we are, what is influencing how we are before we can be a great leader for others. And so the first part of this discussion has really been about acknowledging what it's taken to get, I won't say my own house in order, because, you know, just like in any real home, it's only ever in order for the few moments that you've completed it. And then, of course, something comes along and messes it all up again. It's a continual process that we have to keep attending to. We have to keep going back to, you know, recognizing what happened here that didn't quite work out the way that we thought it would. Or why am I feeling like this? Why do I feel, you know, so passionate about this? When I thought I understood, you know, what was going on. So the reason for not specifically talking about leading others is because I think you need to start with leading yourself first. And in this situation, you know, I'd encourage you to consider, when you start to think about your team, think of your home team first. Think of how you position within that team. Think of your role within that team. Think of what you bring to that team and what you can offer that team. And then, having gathered your thoughts in that space, then I think you lift your gaze out and beyond. My situation won't resonate for all, and this really is my point. We tend to judge others by our own contexts and values, and the pandemic highlights just how vastly different we each are experiencing this. We may be in the same storm, but we are not in the same boat. The differences can be marginal or vast, whether by role, status, family situation, or even how we feel we're coping. Some I know have enjoyed a period without commuting and more freedom in how they work, perhaps more time with their families. Others are deeply worried about the future, particularly if you live on your own, or perhaps you're the sole earner for your family, or maybe you've been furloughed or are at risk of redundancy. As a leader, we need to meet our team and ourselves where they are, not where we are, and that starts by asking and listening well. How often do we start our conversation with, "How are you?" but don't really pause long enough for a reply? Or we don't follow up on the pause or the inflection in the voice. We miss the opportunity, and although we saw something, the moment is past. I've talked to people that worry about everyone being so busy on calls and in meetings, but who also miss a sense of personal connection and intimacy. Why not reach out in the spirit of care and connection to those around you and see what happens? Your development as a leader doesn't need and really shouldn't stop because of this exceptional period. I hope these podcasts will go some way to supporting your journey as leaders as you navigate a period of choppy and uncharted waters for us all. Just remember, you're not the only one navigating this. Everybody around you is navigating the same unforeseeable, unimaginable period. I can't promise you a roadmap here. Nobody can, despite the marketing. But if you're interested in continuing a conversation of mutual learning and support, then please hit the subscribe button or register your interest for one of the live conversation circles on www.futureulimited.co.uk. Hopeful and helpful has been my strapline since March. I've discussed it with my two young boys, and I've had to dig deep on some days to keep reminding myself that as much as this period can feel deeply unsettling, it has also been an opportunity. There have been numerous times where positive things have come from this. My hope is that for each of us during this period is that we pay attention to ourselves and those around us, that we're brave and we trust our instincts. And in the spirit of helping, I offer the final thoughts for you. Take notice of how you're feeling and ask others how they are really. Follow up if you don't feel something is right. Redraw the boundaries of your team to consider your new home team. Recognize your own response to change and how it shows up during this period of high uncertainty, and how it may be influencing both how you lead and how you make decisions. Recognize the different boats your team members may be in and check in with them. Ask how they are in their own unique context. And if you're a team leader, perhaps you might consider being brave and inviting your team to have this conversation together. Role model, sharing your experience of the current situation and how you've felt. What have been the things that have accentuated you as a leader, or where you felt diminished as a leader or as a person? And invite your team to do the same, to help build the social fabric of your team. This isn't about painting by numbers here. There isn't a set way that we are each going to get through this. But if you can imagine a beautifully patterned, colourful mosaic made up of all the differences that we each bring, then I think that's a fabric that would not only draw us in, but that we want to be a part of. In our next conversation, I'll touch more on change at an individual and organisational level. If you've got any specific questions or topics you want me to touch on, then please let me know, either through Instagram, debbie.waith, or email me on debbie.waith@futureultd.co.uk. I'll be posting a podcast each week for the next 4 weeks, related specifically to this period during the pandemic, and then starting a longer series on leadership and teams later in the summer for what will hopefully become more settled times. I hope you've enjoyed our conversation and perhaps find something useful to reflect on. For now, I wish you farewell and to have a hopeful and helpful week ahead. Goodbye.
Subscribe to Team Time.